This message is from Shoreline Community Church in Monterey, California. You are listening to week 4 of our trajectory series, where Pastor Kevin Harney is talking about setting your financial trajectory.
I was raised to be a strong woman, and early in my marriage with my husband, that strength was really hurtful. We were struggling financially with our first child. He was the sole provider of our family, and we were at poverty level. It was so challenging trying to determine how we were going to make ends meet and just survive that month. I remember crying, sitting on the couch with my head in my hands, and just so sad about where we were and how we got there, how we were going to get out of there. And Steve really wanted to make things work, and I had to have faith in him, and I didn't, and I doubted him, and I was just so scared. And the Lord really encouraged me and guided me to allow him to be that provider and to uplift him and encourage him. It was when I was pregnant with my third child that the Lord really showed his hand in our life. It was about 6 months into my pregnancy, and Steve's grandfather passed away, and he had this huge house where we could all fit, and he left the house to Steve's father, and Steve's father asked us to move in. And then shortly thereafter, Steve lost his job, and that was devastating for all of us. But it was not the end of our hope. We continued to tithe through every single challenge that we've been through, and I believe that our faith and trust in the Lord has really allowed us to experience joy through all of these struggles. We didn't know, again, how we were going to make it all work, and the truth is we never did make it work. God did. God blessed us with an amazing opportunity for Steve, and he was able to be in this great house with a nice job where he works from home, and it's just been a really growing process, a growing experience for me as a wife, to be able to support my husband no matter what, and to learn to believe in him and to honor him and respect him as God wants me to. And that has given us more joy and more peace in our relationship and in our family than I could have ever imagined. He has honored us by allowing us to be part of his story that he has written, and I pray that he continues to use us as witnesses for his work.
I love when Paola says something like, we never did make it work, God made it work. Isn't that the right perspective? You realize, you begin to realize that God is leading and guiding. And this whole series, this whole trajectory series, what we're really trying to do is make sure we get our focus and our foundation right to live our lives where we're making those adjustments day by day, week by week, month by month, maybe hour by hour. Adjusting to become the people God wants us to be. Recalibrating, reorienting, repenting when we need to get back on path with what God wants for us. So we talked 3 weeks ago about setting our spiritual trajectory and getting our lives right with God. We talked 2 weeks ago about setting our relational trajectory and how for a couple degrees off, we start to wander. And I've had people say to me, that's happened to my relationships, and we're trying to start moving back together again. It doesn't always just go like this. Sometimes it's beginning to change some habits and moving back together. And then last week, that was an amazing time with Pastor Howie sharing about how to set our emotional trajectory when those tough times come, and they do. And how do we keep orienting and adjusting to where God wants us to be? And so as we talk today, we're on another theme. And this is a theme that I would say that as a nation, as individuals, as a world, we hit what I'm going to call an unplanned recalculating moment. You know when a GPS is recalculating? Well, on a national, international, personal level, almost everyone here came to this unplanned recalculating moment when it came to our finances, when it came to material things. Everything changed. For a while it was, you can't go wrong investing in real estate. You cannot lose money in real estate. Remember that? It was 3.5 years ago. And banks were saying, please, let us give you money. We know you can't pay it back, just take it. And now banks are saying, we know you can pay it back, but you can't have it. I mean, it's the world has changed, hasn't it? And we've hit this kind of moment of reckoning. And we all knew 4 or 5 years ago, I mean, people, Christians would look and say, boy, if there is a problem in our culture, it can be materialism, that we fall in love with stuff. We find our happiness in more things, newer things, nicer toys. And so here's the question for a culture, for individuals. What do you do when your idol is crushed, your God dies, and your security is stripped away? If you are worshiping the God of money, and Jesus says, be careful, God, money can become a God, small g, but it can become your God. It can become your greatest love. If you were worshiping money, if your life was about money, if your joy, your peace, your contentment, your security was not in Jesus, but in your stuff, it's a tough time. And what do you do when that God dies? And there's no signs that that God is resurrecting again soon. What do you do when that happens? Now, for some of you right now, you're thinking, oh, okay, now we talked about relationships and spiritual trajectory. I'm good with that emotionally. But now the pastor's going to talk about money. Pastors and money. Money and pastors. You know, he's going to give me another one of those. I had a guy in a church I pastored in San Dimas, California. He's a young pastor. When we would talk about money, it was a couple times a year we would talk about money. And he would come up to me and he would say, Pastor, as you started your sermon today, he was an older gentleman, you started your sermon, the battery in my hearing aid, it just died. You know what you're saying? Click. So I'm not listening. He's the one that missed out. Because the Bible talks about money. Do you know that Jesus talked about money and resources and material things about 25% of the time? 25% of the time. If I was going to preach like Jesus, we would have a 3-month series on giving every year. Wouldn't that be great? You know, no. At least once a month. You know, a couple times a year we talk about this because the Bible does. You know, in the Bible, when it comes to the topic of prayer, 500 verses in the Bible about prayer, right? About 500. Faith, about 500 verses. Money and resources, 2,000. The Bible deals with this. Why? Because money can become a god. It can take over our lives. It can consume us. And God wants us to not worship money, but to worship him with our money. There's a world of difference. Some people worship money and stuff. Some people worship God and use the money that he's put in their care to give God glory. You know, where do you fit in that? So what do you do when the power of money begins to die? And when that idol is falling apart and doesn't have power anymore? Here's hopefully the answer. Hopefully you turn to the one true God and you never go back to the false god of mammon and money. For some of you here, you know, you were all about money and now you can't because you just don't have it. But you still might be all about money, you just don't have it. But you're thinking about it and wanting it and you want to get back to how it was. But maybe this is a moment that God can say, let's never let it be like that again. Put God first. Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and the other stuff he'll take care of. A new outlook on life. Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King, who we celebrated last weekend, Martin Luther, the reformer, a couple hundred years ago, Martin Luther talked about the fact that for every believer, he said there's 3 moments of conversion. There's a conversion of your mind, where you believe in God and finally believe and receive the fact that he's real. There's a conversion of your heart, where you surrender to him and you receive him. And Martin Luther said, and then there's the conversion of your pocketbook. He said, it usually goes in that order. God has to get your mind, then your heart, and eventually he'll get your pocketbook. Meaning that you begin to say, wow, this isn't mine, this is God's, and I'm a steward. And you start to see resources differently. And so over this whole series, over this whole trajectory series, I've been saying sort of the umbrella, the 2 big umbrella concepts are our focus and our foundation. And every week I want to come back to those, our focus, our foundation. Our focus, we find in Hebrews chapter 12, if you have a Bible, follow along. In Hebrews 12, beginning of verse 2, here's our focus if we want to have a good trajectory in every aspect of our lives. Let us fix our eyes on, what does it say? Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then this first word in verse 3, consider. That means think about, meditate on. Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Our focus is Jesus. In your spiritual life, in your relational life, your emotional life, your financial life, where do I keep my eyes? Where do I keep my focus? You know, in sports, keep your eye on the ball, keep your eye on the ball. In faith, is keep your eyes on Jesus, keep your eyes on Jesus, keep your eyes on Jesus. Get that one right, and the rest will start to make sense. Keep your eyes on Jesus, and you'll find yourself walking toward him. But then there's the foundation. What do we build our lives on? And this sets the trajectory for our lives. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24, Matthew 7, 24, coming near the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is giving an overview and he says this, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, does them, is like a wise man, a wise person who built his house on the rock." Here's what Jesus says. "The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and they will. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock." Our focus is Jesus. Our foundation is the truth of Jesus, the Word of God that doesn't change, that's a solid rock in our lives and in our world. And so in every topic we talk about in the series, we're coming back again and again and again. Keep our focus on Jesus, our foundation on his truth. And so what I want to do is I want to give you, because there's over 2,000 verses in the Bible that deal with resources and money and material things, I can't talk about all of those. But here's what I want to do today. I want to give you 5 different ways that are very practical ideas about how to recalibrate, recalculate, when you need to repent and turn from what you shouldn't be doing, and get the lines of your life, the trajectory in the right direction when it comes to our stuff, to material things. So if you're a note taker, you can write these things down. I'm going to say a prayer and ask God to really speak to our hearts. Let's pray. Lord, we want to seek first your kingdom, your righteousness, and know that you'll add to us what we need. So Lord, take these simple biblical truths and let us take them from here in a way that in the coming days, weeks, months, and years, we can recalculate again and again as we need to keep our lives in line with what you want for us, so we can have the greatest joy and health when it comes to our resources, to honor you and to be a blessing to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first thing I want to share with you is this. It's this contrast of loving God versus loving money. If you want to have the right trajectory when it comes to material things, to stuff, say, I'm going to love God and not love money, not love stuff. God is going to be the first love of my life. Matthew 6:24 says this. Jesus is speaking. He says, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Jesus doesn't say you can't have both God and money, but you can't serve them both. They both can't have the whole allegiance of your heart. You can only give your heart in a devoted way to one of the two. Is it going to be God or is it going to be money? And then the Apostle Paul reinforces this in 1 Timothy 6:10. He says, "For the love of money," not money, but the love of money, "is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs." And some of you say, "I know people like that. They've wandered from the faith. They pierced their heart because it's all about stuff." Some of you say, "That's me. That's where I am right now. My whole life has become about the stuff." And I was thinking about this. I was thinking about this idea of, you know, do we love God or do we love stuff? And I began to think about the fact that you could really, in some ways, when it comes to material things, you could put pretty much everything that you have into a little bowl. So here's my credit card or credit. Well, that's not about money. That's about debt. But you say, okay, my cash, okay, my keys, house, car, any of my things, you know, that, and then here's my wallet. You know, this lists what I have, what I don't have. Oh, I have my ledger in the back with all my savings. That's not very long. You go, okay, there's, you know, so I got my stuff. You know, I got my things all here. And do we look and say, "I love this stuff. I love my car and my nightclub. And we fall in love with it, so we come kind of like Gollum in Lord of the Rings. You know, my precious, oh my, you know, and my stuff, and oh, you know, and we fall in love with our stuff, and our life becomes about stuff. And can I tell you a little secret? You can be broke and have your life be all about stuff, and you can be broke and have your life be all about God, and you can be very wealthy and have your life about stuff, and very wealthy and have your life all about God. It's not about how much stuff you have. It's about the condition of your heart. So here's the first thing. If you want to get the trajectory of your life going in a way that brings to health and joy and peace and honors God and blesses you and those around you, say, "I'm not going to fall in love with the stuff. I will worship God, and I will worship God with stuff, but I will not worship stuff." And we live in a culture that just invites us to be about the stuff. And we need to watch out for that and battle against it. So that's the first thing. Say, am I loving God first, seeking first his kingdom, his righteousness, and knowing that then he'll take care of the rest? Or am I consumed with material things? Here's a second way to adjust the trajectory of your life when it comes to your finances. Learn to give in a willing and joyful way versus a forced and frustrated way. Say, I'm going to give in a way that is willing and joyful, not forced and frustrated. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 8, if you have a Bible, you can read. I'm going to give you two passages from 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8, the Apostle Paul writes this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. There's a lot of farmers and people that are in the farming industry. Small plot of land, few seeds, a little harvest. Big piece of land, lots of seeds. You're hoping for a big harvest. That makes sense. Then he says this. Each man, each person should give what he has decided in his heart to give. And I love this. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, being pushed. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make, and listen to all of the alls. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God says, I can take care of you. So God says, be willing, be joyful, share what you have. And then this is staggering, this next passage. It's found in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 2 through 5. This church in this area called Macedonia was impoverished. They were in a time worse than what we're in right now. They were in a time of desperate, desperate finances. And listen to what happens here. This first verse is just amazing. The apostle talks about the Macedonian church. And he says this. Out of the most severe trial, listen to the contrast, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty. And that seems strange. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Work on that one for a while. Think about that for a while. Paul says, for I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, not forced, on their own. Listen to this. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the saints. Can we please give? Can we please help? Can we be part of helping those in need? Because there's people that have greater need than we have. And I love this. And they did not do so as we expected. They didn't lowball their giving. But they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. And you know, I think about this. Do I have a joyful and willing heart when it comes to giving? A few Christmases ago, I know it was three or four Christmases ago, I just got really frustrated with everywhere I went shopping, everywhere I went to get groceries or food or anything, everybody was saying, would you like to round that up to the nearest dollar and give that money to muscular dystrophy? Hey, would you like to round that up and give it to this angel? You could put your name on this angel and put it on the wall. And would you like to give $2? Everywhere I was going, it was like they were saying, do you know what I'm talking about? Would you round this up? Would you give a couple bucks? And I kept saying, you know, I give to my church. I'm really generous. But I'm not giving to you. Leave me alone. You know, and it didn't feel right. But it was like, do you know that feeling where you're like, it's all this. Can you give, give, give? And you almost get fatigued by it. And I remember saying to Sherry one day, I said, honey, I'm so tired of this. Everywhere I go, I feel like I'm so cheap because everyone's asking me to give a little bit. And I've already given a lot. And I don't want to give anymore. And I finally thought about it. I thought, you know, if the whole Christmas season, if I gave to every roundup at Wendy's and every dollar at Target or whatever it is, and get to the end of it, it's probably like 24 or 25 bucks. Why am I being so? So I said, I'm just going to say yes with enthusiasm. I'm going to say, I'd love to give. Yes, sign me up. You know, I did. And so I started scaring people because I'm like in the store and they go, would you like to round that up to the nearest dollar? I'd love to. Sign me up. I'm in. And they'd be like, whoa. But one girl, she says, nobody said yes all day. I said, well, I'm in. You know, and I just made a decision. I'm going to be joyful. I'm going to give. And I think by that whole Christmas season, it was probably like 20 bucks. So instead of feeling crummy and cranky, I decided to be joyful and just to do it and to give. And that, you know, that was something that made a difference. And it adjusted my attitude and saying, I'm not only going to give to the church, but I'm just going to be a person who's generous. And then I had something really neat happened recently. My little niece, Clara, my brother Jason's daughter, she contacted me and she said, Uncle Kevin, her and two of her younger siblings, and she's a little girl, Laura and Evan, these little harney kids. She said, we're making things called Bags of Hope. And our cost for each bag of hope is $2. And what it is it's a little bag that if you see somebody who's hungry or in need, you can give it to them. And it's got a dollar bill, a little Lifesaver mint, some oats and honey granola, a little note about how God loves them, and I added in to my bags of hope the food and clothes pantry for Shoreline every Tuesday and Thursday from 12:30 to 2:30, which we need food and clothes always, remember that. And I added in there a little business card for Shoreline with our service times. And I got about 40 of these. I put them in my car, so when there's a need, I can give. And it was kind of cool, as we were driving home from when Clara gave these to me, we were driving home, and we stopped in somewhere like Santa Barbara or Pismo Beach or somewhere. We stopped to get gas, and we're coming out of the little convenience store there, and there's a guy there in a wheelchair. And he says, "Do you have any change?" And I said, "Wait a minute." And instead of just kind of doing, "Oh, you know, I said, "Wait a minute." I ran to my car, got a bag of hope, you know, and I went over and I said, "Here, this is for you." And he looks at me and he goes, "Candy." That's what he said. He goes, "Candy and a snack." And he's like, and he turns it over and he starts reading this. "Hello, Jesus loves you. This is a gift for you from someone who wants you to be okay. They have given you this in the name of Jesus. It is because of his love that we are saved, and he inspired this gift. Taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed are those who take refuge in him. You are special and very important to God. The person who gave you this is praying for you. Blessings." Isn't that cool? Yeah. And so now I'm going to do this instead of going, "No." And God's changing. You know what that is? That's just a little adjustment in my heart and my life. I'm still learning. I'm still growing too. But God is helping me adjust. And so willing and joyful, I want to give in the church. I want to give in my family. I want to give in the neighborhood. I want to give in the community. God, I want, it's yours. God, I'm giving away your stuff anyways. I'm generous because it's yours. You know, I'm able to do this. And I become more generous. That's the second thing. Willing and joyful. Is that where your heart's at? Number three, another way to adjust how you're living your life when it comes to stuff. Giving God your first and best versus your last and worst. Say, "God, I want to align my life with your will. I'm going to give you my first and my best." In Malachi 3:10, we read these words. "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough for it." God says, be generous, and I'll let generosity flow through you. Give that. The tithe is the first 10%. God says, just give that with joy. Give that with generosity. Don't give me your leftovers. Give me what's first. That's why the Bible says your first fruits. Your tithe is your first tenth. First fruits, and even beyond that. Say, God, I just want to live that way. And I began thinking about this. And you know, if you've been around the church at all, you know, I think in pictures, I think in stories. It's just the way God has wired my brain. And I had this picture in my mind. I said, I want to imagine that Sherry's going out to speak. She does a lot of, she speaks at retreats and conferences. And she's going to go speak at this women's conference. And she says, "I'm going to be gone Friday and be back Saturday at 5. I said, "Oh, that's perfect. You'll be back at 5 because I invited a couple over for dinner, you know, at 5:30. So you'll be home in time for dinner." See, all the women are going, "This is a bad idea." But I assure my beautiful wife, I say, "Honey, listen, I'll get the house clean. I'll prepare the food. It's going to be a great dinner. Just trust me." All right. And about 4:45 on Saturday, I go, "Oh, wait a minute. We have company coming." And I mean, you know, so she walks in the door. Okay. She walks in the door and she does this. She goes, and she doesn't smell anything cooking. So she says, "Kevin, what are we doing for dinner?" I said, "I got it covered. Don't worry." I said, "I went and checked in the refrigerator. And I said, I looked. And then we can microwave some stuff. Because I said, remember that lasagna we had last Wednesday? We got some of that still. And remember that rice dish that you made that was pretty good? That was, I think, last Friday? That was pretty good. I got that. And then I found this in the back of the fridge. What is this? I don't even know. But if we microwave it, it'll be good enough." And so I say, "So what we'll do is I'm just going to nuke those real quick and we're going to have some leftovers." How is that flying with my wife at this point? Am I her hero for the day? Here's the reality. There is no way we get old, gungy leftovers and microwave them for somebody come over to our home for the first time. It just, we don't give our leftovers. We don't do that. Right? We don't do that. Except with God. Right? Except with God. What do I got left? Oh, here. Or nothing at all. Or nothing. And why do we do that? And here, I think here's the answer. And it's such a strange answer, but I think this is true. Because he is so loving and so good. And so gracious and so forgiving and so understanding. And he is. And we can get away with it. because he's God and he loves us. But shouldn't those be the reasons that we want to give more? Because he's so good and so loving and so gracious because he gave his own life on the cross. I mean, shouldn't that not make us say, oh, God, I can give you the leftovers? It makes it, but God, you've been so good. I want to give you all I have and all I am. And yet sometimes we give God the last and the leftovers. And if you're going to reorient your life, think about that. As a matter of fact, God is talking to the people back in Malachi. This great prophet Malachi in chapter 1, verse 8. He's talking to the people and he says this. He says, when you bring blind animals for sacrifice, they were bringing their leftovers. When you bring blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice crippled or diseased animals in his temple, you know, he says, you bring that to me, is that not wrong? And watch what God says to his people. Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? God says, you wouldn't give what you give to me to a person, but you give it to me. And I don't hear anger in God's heart. I hear just a, do you not understand? He goes on to say, for I am a great king above all the nations. From the rising to the setting of the sun, my name will be praised. That's who I am. And our giving needs to come out of a heart that's aware of who he is and what he's done. And we say, God, I want to give you my first fruits, my best, with joy, because you've been so good to me. And that's what needs to happen in our hearts. And then we begin to adjust our trajectory of our giving. God, I want to learn to give you my best. And right now I'm giving you nothing or my leftovers. So we say, I got to start readjusting and slowly recalibrating until I come to the place where, God, you have my best. You have my all. That's the third thing. A fourth way to set our financial trajectory is this. To be generous versus guarded. To be generous versus guarded. I would portray it this way. If we got a little bowl that kind of holds our stuff, here's generous. God, it's all from you. It's all yours. And I offer it back to you. You can use my car. You know, just say, God, it's yours. And this is guarded. No. Yeah, you pull it out of my cold, dead fingers, right? What's the line? My kung fu grip. No, God, you don't get this. This is mine, you know? Or, God, it's all from you, and I'm so thankful, and it's available to you for whatever you need it for. Right? And it's this that sets the trajectory of our lives towards health and joy and celebration. Here's that passage I read a little bit earlier. I want to read it one more time from 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 8, just the first part. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And this great passage from Luke chapter 16, where we read this, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with little or stingy or won't share what they have with little will be dishonest or stingy with much. And here's what the Word of God is saying to us. He's saying how you are now with your resources is how you're going to be if you have more or less. You know, there's people that will say this. They'll say, oh, God, if I got $1 million, God, if I got $1 million, I would give half it away. I would feed the poor. I would clothe the naked. I would be generous. I'd support the church. I would be Mr. Mrs. Giver. I mean, I'll just, half of what I get, I'm going to give it away to you, God. Right? I mean, right now I'm giving nothing, but if I had $1 million, I'm going to give half it away. Can I tell you something? No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. You could kid yourself. Go ahead, kid yourself. But God says something different. If you're faithful in little, you'll be faithful in much. If you're not faithful in little, you will not be faithful in much. Because it's a matter of the heart. And there's people that say, if I just had more, I would give to God. I love that testimony where Paola said, but we tithe to God through it all. When we lost the job, didn't know what was next. But we gave God the first, you know, we have nothing coming in. First 10%. Oh, that's nothing. I have $100 coming in. First 10%, $10. It's easy to figure out. It's hard to do, to live that way. And to say, God, I want to be generous and not guarded. And, you know, there's a couple, very dear couple, he just passed away a couple months ago in Michigan. When I came to the church, I served there for 14 years. This couple came and they said, they'd been coming for about a year or so. And they said, Pastor, I want to share something with you. If a need comes up, if there's a family in need or a single mom who can't get Christmas gifts for their kids or something in the church, and there's not budget for it. They said, they came to me, they said this, would you let us know so we could pray about it and help if we're able? Wow. I said, absolutely. Over the next 10, 12 years, probably 7, 8, 9 times maybe. Something came up and there wasn't budget, and I just prayed about it. I felt like I should check in with that couple, let them know. And they always say the same thing: give us a couple days to pray about it. And I think they were also going to see if they could find the money, make sure they had the money to do it. And there were things that happened in that church that wouldn't have happened. There were people that were helped that wouldn't have been helped, except that they lived with a generous heart. There's someone who's part of this church who just about a year ago called me and actually didn't want to have a face-to-face meeting, didn't want to make a big deal about it, just called me and said, God kind of put on my heart. He said, I know there's great things happening in worship at Shoreline. And if there's things that come up that we don't have in the budget that we need to do to really help God's people worship and really glorify God, just to help us be worshipers together, and it's not in the budget, he said, up to this amount, I want to set that money aside, and you just let me know, and I'll take care of it. Wow. And there's things happening right now in our worship that wouldn't be happening if this person hadn't had that generous spirit. What are our hearts like? Are we generous or are we guarded? Is it mine or it's God's? And let's begin to think about that and live in a new way that says, God, I'm generous because it's yours to start with. And then one last thing in setting your financial trajectory. This is huge. If you want to set your trajectory right, be content versus coveting. Content versus coveting. Let me show you the difference. This is content. This is what God has put in my bowl. I am happy with my bowl. That's content. This is coveting. What do you have in your bowl? I want that. That's coveting. Content? This is what I have. I'm going to keep working hard and stuff, but if this is what I have, God, I'm happy. I'm okay. I'm at peace with this. This is coveting. In our world, people spend a lot of money trying to get us to covet. I can't be happy with what I have because I want what you have. And I look in your bowl, ooh, I want that. You know, and as a matter of fact, in the Bible, in the Ten Commandments, when God is saying, Ten Commandments, don't murder. You know, don't commit adultery. And that same list of Ten Commandments is this one, Exodus 20:17. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or his donkey, his car or his tractor, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. Don't look at what your neighbor has and say, I got to have that. Just say, God, thank you for what you've given me. And then this passage, 1 Timothy 6:6, Paul says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Isn't that powerful? Great gain in that. And one more, Hebrews 13:5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Well, how can I be content with what I have? Here's the answer. Because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Oh, I'm okay with what I have because God has me and I have him. And now I'm okay. It's a whole different outlook. So here's the questions I want you to kind of carry with you through the week. And this will be up on the screen. They'll be, if you can't write these down, if you want to remember them, go on the website. You know, in the last 3 weeks, we've had over 600 people now view our services online. It's incredible. And they're free. They're on there. Go check. You can send the link to a friend and say, check out the sermon. They're all on there. And we're going to get to where we have a whole service online. That's our next goal. We're working toward that. But here's some questions for the week. Number one, do I love God above all else? Is my trajectory God first? I love him above anything else. Question number two. Spend time to think about this. Do I give with a joyful heart? Or, okay, or I'd be glad to. Number three, do I give my first and best, or does God get my leftovers? And just talk to God about that and make some adjustments if you need to. Number four, do I hold God's stuff in open hands? Notice I didn't say my stuff. It's all God's. He gives it all. Even if we work hard, it's still from him. Do I hold God's stuff in open hands? And am I truly content with what I have? Or am I coveting? Am I always wanting what someone else has? Or can I say, I'm okay with what I have? If God gives me more, I'll try to use it for him. If he gives me less, I'm okay with that. Because I know who has me, and I know who I have. What a way to live. It's freeing. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for Shoreline Church, for each person gathered here in the worship center and the family worship venue. As we gather to worship you, we want to just get our eyes, our focus on you, our foundation on your word. And in this area of finances, Lord, help us love you first and seek you first. Help us get this one right. And where we're off track, bring us back just a couple degrees to start to move that trajectory back to you, to being the people you want us to be. Thank you for every good gift. Thank you for providing, watching over us for another day of life. Thank you for Shoreline Church, for all you're doing here And I thank you for the people that are part of this church and their faithfulness and generosity to let you do what you want to do in this place. It's an amazing season, and we give you praise. So we go from here, Lord, keep our eyes open to how we can live for you in every area of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just two things before you go. If you want prayer, please come for prayer in the family worship venue or over here with the folks that are ready for prayer. And if you're here for the first time, or if you've never gone to the Connection Center, they have a free gift they want to give you. They want to give you a welcome.
This has been week four of our Trajectory series. For more messages like this or for more information, please visit shorelinechurch.org. And don't forget about the upcoming Organic Outreach Conference on November 10th, 11th, and 12th of 2011. Thanks.